भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। So for last 2 days, we had been discussing different aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yesterday, day before yesterday, we first discussed about what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it clear to everyone now? What is Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. The Vedas, Nigama Kalpatarur, the Golitang Phalam, the ripened fruit of the desire tree, that is the Vedas. And not only it is the ripened fruit, this fruit also has been blended with the nectar from the lotus lips, lotus mouth of Srila Sukadev Goswami. Because when Srila Sukadev Goswami spoke, he spoke Bhagavatam with his realization. So that is the even more relishing aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukamukhad Amrita Drabasanjutam. Sukadev Goswami spoke. So that made Bhagavatam even more relishable, even more profound. And who drink that? Those who are rasikas, those who know how to relish the transcendental mellows. And then yesterday we considered the qualification of entering into Srimad Bhagavatam. Say in simple words, when do we become eligible, when do we become qualified to study Srimad Bhagavatam or relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the reader's qualification. And today we will discuss about the speaker's qualification. So that is what, that is why we selected this verse today. Rishaya uchu twaya khalu puranani setihasani chanagha akhattani api adhitani dharmashastrani jānyuta. Rishaya uchu taya khalu puranani setihasani chanagha akhattanna padhitani dharmashastrani jānyuta. Twaya khalu puranani setihasani chanagha akhattanna padhitani dharmashastrani jānyuta. तया खलु पुराणानि सेतिहासानि चानघ अखत्तन्न पठितानि धर्मशास्त्राणि जानुत ऋषयः द सेजेस ऊचुः सेड त्वया बाय यू खलु अनडाउटेडली पुराणानि द सप्लीमेंट्स ऑफ द वेदस विथ इलस्ट्रेटिव नरेशंस सा इतिहासानि अलोंग विथ द हिस्ट्रीज च एंड अनघ फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल वाइसेस अखत्तानि एक्सप्लेन्ड अपि ऑल्दो अधितानि वेल रेड धर्मशास्त्राणि स्क्रिप्चर्स गिविंग राइट डायरेक्शंस टू प्रोग्रेसिव लाइफ Yani, all these, Uta, is said. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures famous for religious life. And in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Please repeat after me. The sages said, respected Suta Goswami, you are completely free from all vices. You are well versed in all scriptures famous for religious life. And in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, a Goswami or the bona fide representative of Srila Vasudev must be free from all kinds of vices. The four major vices of Kali Yuga are illicit connection with women, animal slaughter, intoxication, speculative gambling of all sorts. A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vasasana. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vasasana who is not spotless in character and who is not freed from the above mentioned vices. He not only should be freed from all such vices, but must also be well versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also parts of the Vedas. And histories like Mahabharata or Ramayana are also parts of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravanam and explaining is called Kirtanam. The two processes of Shravana and Kirtana are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. So as I mentioned earlier, the qualification of a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it is a transcendental subject, this subject is not comprehended or understood by intellectual assimilation. It is a matter of revelation. And as we sing every morning, Dibbo Gyan Ride Prakashito. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. Dibbo Gyan, the transcendental knowledge, Ride, in the heart, Prakashita, is revealed. So that is the difference between material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. The material knowledge is acquired by remembrance, by studies, and by such assimilation. But that is not the case with the spiritual knowledge. The material knowledge is a matter of brain. In the brain, we collect the information and store them in the memory. But the spiritual knowledge is a matter of revelation. Like, it's a therefore it's called revealed knowledge. It's revealed in the heart. In a way, we can understand this concept by, actually the knowledge is there with the spirit soul. The jiva also is Satchidananda. So chit aspect is the knowledge aspect. The knowledge is there with the jivas. But it has to be revealed. Now this revelation can be understood in this way. Although it takes place by the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of a devotee. That is the thing. The revelation takes place by the mercy. At the beginning of Mahabharata, there is a very beautiful anecdote in this respect, indicating that point. Upamanyu and Aruni's Upakhan, the anecdote of Upamanyu and Aruni. So, Aruni was a student of Dhomma Rishi. Rishi Dhomma is the family priest of the Pandavas. So, just as Garga Muni is the family priest of the Jadus, Dhomma was the family priest of the Pandavas, or the Kurus. And so it is an anecdote concerning him. So, one day Dhomma got the information. You see, the ashram also used to cultivate land, grow food grains, rice and etc. So he got the message that the aisle of the field broke. You see, they build the paddy field, rice field needs water, and that water, because rice plant grows with water. The higher the water goes, the plant also goes higher. That is the thing with rice. And that is another very nice example, the watering the field. Because when the water is there in the field, then the weeds cannot grow. But the rice plants flourish. So this is a way of keeping the weeds away. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Anyway, so they keep, in order to keep the water in within the land, within the paddy field, they create a small little wall. And so that keeps the water. So he got the message that wall broke. The small wall made of clay broke. So that means water is just running out. So he told Aruni that go and protect the field. So actually what was happening, the flood water was entering into the field. Not the water was draining out of the field, but the flood water was coming into the field. So Guru told Aruni to protect the field. So when Aruni came, he found that the flood water was entering into the field. And there was no way he could stop it because the water was quite heavy, strong current. So Aruni, to protect the field, according to his guru's instruction, he just laid down the area where the wall broke, and he reconstructed the wall by lying down with his own body. He protected the water from entering. So the day went by. At night, Guru asked, "Where is Aruni?" So the other students said that you sent him to the field in the morning, and since then he didn't come back. So then Guru said, "Let's go and see." So it was already dark. So he went and started to call out to Aruni, "Aruni, Aruni, where are you?" And then Aruni said that, "I am protecting the field by lying down here." So Guru saw what he did. So he became so pleased with him that he told him, "Let all the Vedas, all the four Vedas and all the Shastras become revealed in your heart." And just by the mercy of the Guru, all the Vedas and all the scriptures were revealed in his heart. So, this is a very wonderful example of revelation of spiritual knowledge. The Guru says, and he bestows his mercy in this way upon a qualified student. And what did he see? He saw his faith. And he realized that, well, because of his faith, this knowledge is going to be revealed in his heart. So he just broadcasted it. Another kind of an example of revelation we see when Dhruva Maharaj was performing austerities and he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was a little child. He didn't know how to glorify the Lord. The Lord just touched him with his conch shell. And immediately Dhruva started to glorify the Lord in the most wonderful way. So this way we can see the spiritual knowledge is a matter of revelation which becomes manifest by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. That's why service attitude is so important. That's why being obedient is so important. The basic essence of spiritual progress is obedience. Therefore, those who are not obedient, they are not qualified. And we notice, in the temple also we notice, the devotees, those who are obedient, they make spiritual progress so nicely. And everybody feels pleased with them. And those who are disobedient, we see that they are not really progressing. Rather, they become a disturbance to the community. So, So here is the qualification, taya khalu puranani shetihashani janati. They have been revealed in your heart. Okay, another consideration of revelation. As I mentioned, the knowledge is there. With the jiva, the knowledge is there because he is also Satchidananda. But the knowledge is covered. The example of covering of the knowledge is something like, you consider a light bulb. It is burning. But if the bulb is coated with paint, black paint, will we see any light coming out? So it's a matter of removing the covering. Another example is given, of course those days there was no light bulb. The example that has been given in Sanskrit is Jnana Khale Jathasati. If a light is covered with a basket, a lamp is covered with basket, will you see the light? So when the basket is removed, then the light comes up. So what is that black paint or basket that is covering the light in the heart of the jivas? Is ignorance. And therefore we see, what does the spiritual master do? Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Removes the covering. What does the holy name do? Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Marjanam. Cleaning. And when all the dirt is removed, the transcendental knowledge becomes revealed. So this is the process. Another way of understanding this is, again, we go to the light bulb. Will the light bulb give out light by itself? Although it is perfect in its own way with the filament and cables and everything. But will there be any light coming out from the bulb? But when the light bulb is connected to the electric source, power source, then yes. When the current, it's a matter of connecting to the, like the, what does the light switch do? When it is off, it's disconnected. And when it is on, then the connection is established. So it's a matter of becoming connected to the source. Jivas are parts and parcels of Krishna. And when the jivas are disconnected from Krishna, no light, no knowledge, ignorance. But when the jivas become connected to the Lord, then immediately light shines forth. So in this way we have to understand that we, the jivas, don't really have any means or ability to acquire the spiritual knowledge without being connected. So the entire process is a process of being connected. The connection is being established by the disciplic succession. That is the link. The disciplic succession is the link. And the jiva's own endeavor to become connected. On the part of the jiva simply has to become connected. The link is there, going all the way up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky. But that is all that is needed from us on our part. We simply have to establish the connection. And how is the connection established? The connection is established through Shraddha, faith. Again, this faith is obedience, acceptance of the authority. So faith is the acceptance of the authority of the of the advanced structure, the structure of disciplic succession, and the qualification is to be submissive to that, the personalities and the scriptures. Scriptures are providing us all the information, so accept them as they are. So, this is the process, and the qualification of a personality is Taya khalu puranani seti hashani chanuga. You have studied under the guidance of qualified teachers. And then you yourself have practiced it. You have accepted it through hearing, and you are presenting it through kirtan. As Prabhupada is saying, explaining. So both these things, both these two aspects are important. Shravanam, kirtanam. Those who acquire the knowledge but don't distribute, they have been compared to a miser. Miser. Kripana. And those who distribute it, they are mahajanas. Kripana and Mahajana. Kripana means a miser, and Mahajana means Mahajana means distributor. Nittananda Mahajan. Nodiya Godhrume Nittananda Mahajan. Namer Hat Khuliyache Jibero Karo. In the marketplace of Nodiya Godhrum, Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Mahajan has opened up a marketplace for the sake of the living entities. And what is being distributed in this marketplace? The holy name. And what is the price with which one is buying those holy names? Shraddha Mulle Bikaina. Shraddha. So cultivate the Shraddha. Become submissive. Become humble. Don't ever think that you are big. Don't you ever think that you are great. Rather, try to develop the opposite culture. Yogyota bichare kichu nahi pai, tomaro koruna shar. As far as my qualification is concerned, as far as qualification is concerned, I have none. I don't find any qualification. All that I am depending upon is your mercy. So that should be the attitude. With that kind of attitude, we must approach the Vaishnavas. Surrender, submissive. Material world is the world of independence. Here everyone is trying, here the whole attitude is that of independence. Whereas the spiritual world is the world of dependence, submission. One world is a world of independence, the other is the world of submission. The submission is surrender. And Prabhupada is pointing out that the qualification of a qualified teacher is that he must be expert in all the subjects pertaining to spiritual topic. And those, that means the Vedic literatures. Vedic literatures are presented in some supplementary or branches. If Vedas are the trees, then the root of the tree is the Supreme Personality of God. The root of the Vedic tree is the Supreme Personality of God. And the trunk of the tree is the manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in here. And then, that is, we can say the Vedas are the trunk, and different branches are there of the trunk. The trunk by itself doesn't really reveal the tree so much. The revelation or the exposure or the manifestation of the tree is in the form of the branch and twigs and leaves and so forth. That is what makes it so, makes it complete. And those branches, he is pointing out, Puranani, nan Puranani, it's plural number. Puran is singular, Puranani, plural. And Khalu, very expertly, you have studied, understood. Seti also, itihash. Puranani, Puranas, itihash, Upanishads, Dharma Shastras. So all these are together are Dharma Shastras. Different aspects of dharma has been revealed in these scriptures. There are samhitas. There are so many samhitas. And through the samhitas, we are getting the understandings of different personalities. Understandings and instructions of different personalities. Brahma Samhita, such a wonderful scripture. Just one chapter of Brahma Samhita gives us the complete understanding of everything. Because this chapter is describing Brahma seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky. And he is seeing everything else in relation to that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there is Manu Samhita. Manu is giving the instructions how the mankind must act, how the mankind must behave. That's Manu Samhita, giving complete understanding. And Prabhupada actually mentioned that India's law is predominantly based on Manu Samhita. Not completely, because Manu Samhita has some very heavy considerations. Like if anybody steals, chop off his right hand. And interestingly, this injunction, this understanding is practiced in the Muslim country. Journal, I mean one description of one European or maybe an English person's description of his visit of these Middle Eastern countries. I think it was either Afghanistan. I think it was either Afghanistan or Iran. I think it's Afghanistan, yeah. So this person was told, there's one local person was telling him about the laws there. And he said that if anyone is caught stealing, then his right hand is chopped off. And his reaction was, oh, it's such a terrible punishment. Such a terrible punishment. Then his friend, that Afghan friend, told him, you have been here for so long, did you ever see anyone without a right hand? So when the law is so strict, then no one will break the law. Before stealing, he'll think twice. Oh my God, should I risk it? On the other hand, we see in democracy, there is no law. And therefore, they're producing outlaws everywhere. The law, nobody is abiding by the law. Bribing, by bribing, they can get the judgment in their favor. Mind you, the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is giving this description. What's going to happen? And it's really amazing the way Kali Yuga has been described 5,000 years ago. We're actually seeing it right now. One of the things, it says that the only with people with money only will get justice. What does it mean? People will bribe and get justice in their favor. they may commit the worst kind of crime, but they won't have to get punished. So, Prabhupada also said that these courts, the high, one Prabhupada was driving by one high court, I think either in Calcutta or Delhi, and Prabhupada said that is the place of Kali. Courts are the place of Kali. Because there is no justice. There is the place of injustice. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Let's have some question answers. Any question? Yes. Give him the mic.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. We see that sometimes knowledge is, but in the day-to-day life we cannot.
What is acquired?
Knowledge is. Sometimes it we see that we have got some. By the mercy of Lord, we have received some knowledge, but in day-to-day life, we cannot apply that knowledge. What is then? What should be done in that case?
Okay. On your day-to-day life, you are chanting Hare Krishna. So are you applying the knowledge? So apply this knowledge. That's what only matters. That's what really matters. Okay? The knowledge is, the ultimate knowledge is, in this age, Krishna appeared as the holy name. So by chanting the holy name, you can get the association of Krishna and mercy of Krishna. So can you apply this knowledge?
No, you can apply, but many more information and many more knowledge has been received, but on that...
So what do you want me to do? Tell me, what do you want me to do? If you can't apply it, should I go to your house and make the arrangements?
No, this is a...
You have to make the arrangement. Say, for example, you get the knowledge that one should not eat meat. Now, how will you apply it to your household? That's up to you. How will you apply it in your day-to-day knowledge is up to you. Right? So, knowledge, get the knowledge, and if you think that is beneficial, then apply it. If you can't do it, then what can be done? If you want, you can come and ask us for some advice or help. We can do it. But in general, we cannot really say. In general, our response will be, if you have the knowledge, how you are going to apply it in your day-to-day life is your business. Right? You have to do it. Yes. Give it to... Where are you going? Oh, you had somebody there. Okay. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned about the quality of obedience. Is this interchangeable? You mentioned also qualities like humility. The question is sort of in two parts. Are they interchangeable, humility and obedience? And what is the real, how can one tell when they are being obedient? Is there any way of being able to notice, or is it simply...
Whether he is being obedient or not, everybody else around him can see it. Right? And yes, obedience is relative to humility. Because what is the opposite aspect of humility? Pride. When one is proud, can he be... No, there is somebody there. Give it to him. There is somebody who is proud. He can't be obedient. To be obedient, one has to be submissive. Right? So, and as a, give it to Mataji, you are taking it to her. So, as you were saying, like, how does one see it? The way one sees, he may not see it, but everybody else around him can see it. Especially his authority can see it. Alright? One himself may not see, he with him may think. And that's the natural tendency. Nothing is wrong with me. I am perfect. And that is the perfect demonstration of Maya. I am perfect. I don't need any guidance. I know better than anybody else. So when somebody develops that attitude, that means he is in total Maya. Look at the world outside. You know, everybody is thinking that way. Why do I need to listen to these Hare Krishnas? These are weirdos. Look at me. I'm so nicely dressed. Look at the amount of money I'm earning every month. Look at how many people are tokoing salam to me.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, when we go through schooling and when we go through university, we become very acquainted with knowledge that is revealed through the intellect and through the brain and accustomed to it. And yet the more superior knowledge is that which is revealed in the heart and which comes through obedience and which comes through mercy. Sometimes I feel like these two are juxtaposed and we need to actually really grasp onto the latter.
So what is
how
the last
do we, part? How do we balance this?
Balance it by knowing what is what and just accepting it in that way. Right? Understanding that this knowledge, this so-called material knowledge, is turning us into donkeys. Right? And the spiritual knowledge is the real knowledge that's giving us the proper sight. Material knowledge is blinding us. Spiritual knowledge is enlightening us. And literally Bhaktivinod Thakur literally explained it in this way. Jaro vidya sab mayar boibhav, tomar bhajone badha, moho janomiya anitya sansare, jib ke koroye gadha. Meaning, the materialistic knowledge is only an illusory influence of Maya. It creates bewilderment and becomes an impediment to spiritual progress. And creating this bewilderment turns a living entity into an ass. Jeep ke koroye gadha. Gadha means an ass, a donkey. Donkeys are famous for their wisdom. Does it answer your question? Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you very much for that really amazing class, very, very clarifying class. Guru Maharaj, as you have mentioned that these topics are not intellectually, you cannot intellectually grasp them, but it's by revelation. So when we see that we do Bhakti Shastri, and actually we're using a kind of intellectual approach, you know, we study the verses, we memorize the verses, we do research. But is it because of Prabhupada's instruction, you know, that we should all read his books? Is it within this instruction that the potency is there and because of this it is revealed to us? Because basically we're using things that we have learned in university, you know, how to analyze. Like, how does it...
Yeah, very good. You see, that, you know, like institutional education like that has both good and bad aspects. The good aspect is it sharpens your intellect. It disciplines you. Like that way, it is beneficial. But the negative aspect is that it fills you with so many garbage that you can't really discriminate between right and wrong in the ultimate sense. Also, it increases your pride. Like, to tell you frankly, I don't like to deal with the academics. Because they just don't want to listen. They already think, I know so much. So why should I listen to you? But the thing is that unless and until one listens, as I was telling the other day in the class, when they give us a patient hearing, everybody sees so much senses there in what we have to present. Now, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav is kind of, you need a systematic study. Prabhupada's books are there. The books are meant to be studied. Now, if there is no such systematic arrangement, then the devotees won't be able to properly benefit out of it. That is why these Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, these courses are important. Because, and these are not material knowledge. These are spiritual knowledge. And by understanding, we enrich ourselves with spiritual wisdom. That's why they're beneficial. And this knowledge is not like academical knowledge. So, these are important, the studies, systematic way of study. Again, another point in that respect is, we read and we can study. Reading is casual. Studying is sincere, serious. So, I notice myself, I'll admit it frankly, I like to give seminars. You know why? Because it forces me to study. Because, when I have to present it in a proper way, then I'm forced to study. Okay, the mic is close to him. Mukunda Hari?
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Maharaj. In the purport, if I heard correctly, you mentioned hearing and explaining is more important than reading.
Just a moment. It's loud. The speaker. Yeah. It's too
I'll
loud.
Repeat that. Yes, okay. Sorry, maybe I was holding it too close to my mouth. If I heard this correctly, I think in the purport you mentioned that hearing and explaining is more important than reading. Could you please expand on that?
Yeah, good point. Good point. The hearing is more important. Prabhupada mentions in the purport that hearing and explaining is more important than reading. Haribol, education. Hearing and explaining is more important than reading. You see, again, when you are reading, it's just you projecting yourself in assimilating the topic. Right? And that is reading. But when you are hearing, you are actually getting it somebody else's understanding presented. Like hearing can be compared to a half-digested foodstuff. why I give that example is because, Mother bird doesn't breastfeed the child, baby bird. You know what the mother bird does? She eats, half digests it, and then feeds that half digest, because the baby bird cannot digest the whole food. So she half digests it and gives it to the baby bird. So, hearing is something like that. The speaker, the qualified speaker, he understood the subject. And he is presenting it to you. And if you have a question, if you didn't understand it clearly, you have the option to ask him and get it clarified. And then, so this is the hearing aspect. The explaining aspect is that you are telling him, telling others, what you understood. So in this way, you are replenishing your own understanding, reviving your own understanding, and you are also hearing yourself. And, you know, like, further understanding is coming to you. And then when others ask you question, then also you get the clarification yourself when you are explaining it to him. So you see the difference. This hearing and explaining has a broader aspect of understanding, whereas reading has a narrow aspect of understanding. Okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. I'm happy to be here again, once again in the gym. Regarding this material knowledge and spiritual knowledge, as you said, material knowledge is not as important, and it's but we see in today's world, we have to educate our children to get the necessary qualification, to get the job. So, but when they use this also later on in their lives to lead a Krishna conscious life, so isn't that material knowledge also applied to spiritual life, making it spiritualized, like because he has to maintain his family and children and make them Krishna conscious. So does it justifies also sometimes that we have to put lots of endeavor to get material knowledge?
Okay, good point. An answer to that will be, when we have the responsibility or need to compromise with that world, then this education is important. But if we can create our own world devoid of any connection with that world, then it's not necessary. To tell you frankly, during Prabhupada's time, during the early days, we never thought that we have any need to kind of compromise with that world. Therefore, our Gurukul system was actually, which eventually became a failure. Gurukul didn't become a failure. The system is not wrong. But when it was a matter of compromising with that world, when our children went out and wanted to compromise with that world, they found themselves to be a misfit. That was the problem. But in the early days, we felt, or rather our movement felt, there was no need to compromise. We will create our own world and our children will be absorbed within our. But after Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON went through a major crisis. And we could not really absorb these children. We are kind of infested with so many problems that we could not really accommodate them. And as a result of that, we ended up into this crisis. Now the point is, as you were saying, our children need to get educated and so forth, in the outside, to make a compromise in the outside world. Now, the thing, just consider, as a result of that, what is happening in most cases? In most cases, our children are ending up outside. Like the parents are devotees, but hardly any children join the movement. Right? Of course, some does, like yesterday I was told, Sunil Mohan and Hemangi's daughter, Radhapriya, she wants to settle down in Mayapur. And I was very happy, and he was also very happy. Rather, they were also very happy that she wants to lead a devotee life. She is not interested in going into the outside world. But in most cases, they are like that. The parents are committed devotees. But they are not thinking in terms of, getting their children to become devotees. I'll give you an example. A disciple of mine in America, very successful businessman. He was also the president of a temple. He was an amazing person, actually. He was running a very successful business. He was managing the temple. But of course, his family was suffering. His wife always used to complain to me that he's never at home. Like in the morning he goes to the temple, he takes prasad in the temple. No, he doesn't even take prasad in the temple during the day. He goes straight to the work, and in the evening again he goes back to the temple and comes back late at night. Anyway, I mean, you can see how committed he himself is. But he always used to tell me to send pujaris from India. And I used to tell him, no, I'm not going to send pujaris. Because when these boys go from India to serve in those temples, practically that's the end of their spiritual life. For some time, they will work in the, they'll serve in the temple, but then they will get their green card, they'll start earning money, they'll find a wife, and that's the end of their spiritual life. And so, I told him that, look, I'm not in favor of sending pujaris or cooks from India, because I don't want to ruin their spiritual life. And I told him that, look, you have, then he said, then how am I going to maintain the temple? I said, make devotees locally. Prabhupada, during Prabhupada's time, devotees are joining. I mean, Americans were joining. And local devotees, when they become joined, that's the solution. Because for how long you can keep on importing pujaris from India? And then he was telling that, no, I mean, local people are not joining. I tell him that because you are not preaching. If you preached, you made them understand how interesting Krishna consciousness is, then yes, they would stand in queue to join. And he kept on telling me how difficult it is. Then I asked him just one point. I asked him, will you want your son to join the temple? And he was kind of shocked for a moment, you know. And, I mean, he took some time, maybe a few, 30 seconds or so. And then he admitted, no. Then I told him, look, you are the temple president of the temple, fully committed to this temple. And if you don't want your son to join the temple, then how do you expect that anybody will want his son to join the temple? Why anybody will join the temple when you are not convinced about the ultimate supremacy of this path? So that is the thing. Like we are not, most of the time the parents are not considering that Krishna consciousness is the ultimate goal of life. Although they are committed to Krishna consciousness, in many cases the parents are thinking, no, I want my son to become successful in material life. I want him to go the same way and suffer the way I did. What is your take on that?
I would love my son to join the temple, and that's what I tell him, become a brahmachari.
Okay, tell him to travel with me. Incidentally, Anandavardhan's son, Rahul, is an exceptionally brilliant boy. You know, he is from Spain, and he was studying in Spain, and each year he broke the record marks of the class. Each year. I mean, he was an outstanding student, like extremely brilliant. Like as I said, like each year he would break the previous year's record. Thank you. And he's a good boy. He's a good boy. And I know that one day he'll become a devotee. You know how he used to imitate me? I used to give a class, and then when I would leave after the class, he would sit in my seat. He would sit on my seat and give a class. He was just a little boy at that time. Now he did his medicine. He's in America now? He finished his internship and everything. And he was in America, and then he went to Panama. Now planning to go to Zurich. Or to UK. Very good. Okay, so let him, tell him that this option is open. He can join. And I know he'll let him go through about 1 or 2 years and let him get completely sick and tired of it and then give him that option. And there is another boy like that actually. Another extremely brilliant boy. Many of you have seen him. Suman. Suman did medicine from Cambridge. You see, to get admission in Cambridge is extremely difficult because that's the best university in UK. And the medical faculty is the best faculty there, where you get the best of the students. And he is from, he did his medicine from Cambridge. Now he's a full-fledged doctor, but he doesn't like to practice. He wants to travel with me. And we had been doing that, like, when I would come to India, he would go, because he needed to continue his practice. So he would go and take up part-time jobs. When I would come to India, he would go to England and take up a job. And then, when I would leave India, he would come and join me. Incidentally, next time I'm going to Australia in January, and he's coming to join me. But now he has taken up a 3 years permanent job. Because this will be essential, because after he does that for 3 years, then he can start his private practice whenever he wants. So, yes, some intelligent boys are actually opting for that. And as I mentioned the other day, like here we have so many students. I mean, here also so many local students are present. And they are opting for a pure devotional life. How many of you coming from that student background worked for 2 years and joined the movement? Or temple? Yes. Okay, how many of are studying now? Students now? And how many of them want to become full-time devotees eventually? Thank you. Congratulations. So this is the real intelligence. A simple consideration. If I have an option to serve Maya, a boss in the material world, or serve someone like Krishna in the spiritual world. I mean, I have to take up a job, ultimately. So whose job should I take? Krishna's job or Maya's job? How many of you want to take up Maya's jobs? How many of you want to become Krishna's servants? Thank you very much. Congratulations. Okay. So I will, Giriraj, last question, because I have quite a few questions here and it's already 9 o'clock. What should I do?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, this qualification of a speaker, the one who should know well-versed in all the scriptures, is a very high qualification. And if a neophyte like me is given a service to give a class, then in what mood should we approach Vyasasana and how should we give a class?
Very good point, yeah. Like one point I actually missed out, which is very important point, is he should be sinless. The one principal qualification that Prabhupada mentioned here is that the speaker must be sinless. That means he must follow the 4 regulative principles. So that is the principal qualification. Anyone who is sitting on a Vyasasana and speaking the spiritual topics, transcendental topic, must be sinless. Sinless means he must be following these 4 regulative principles. And after that, just speak about your own realization, what you understood. If you understood that Krishna is God, just go and tell them. Krishna is God. Just tell them that much. Krishna is God, Krishna is God, Krishna is God. And then you can also explain why you have accepted this path. Explain why. So this is the best way to give a class. This is the best way to explain this topic. So what I'll do is, there are three questions from the internet. I'll answer these three questions. Okay, another one came in, four questions. And some questions are here. They're from you all, local devotees, those who are present. So I'll keep them and I'll answer them tomorrow. Okay? Okay, so first one from New Orleans, Rohini Nandan Das. Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gaurangi from New Orleans. Oh, actually, this is from Gaurangi. Another very bright girl, very intelligent, very brilliant girl. Pam, and becoming a very good devotee also. Very good devotee. Pam Ho, AGTSP, the translation to yesterday's verse ended with the sentence, by the culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within His heart. Maharaj, my question is, Krishna is already established in everyone's heart as the Super Soul. Will you please explain the last sentence of this verse? Right. Krishna is there in your heart, but Krishna hasn't been consciously established. That is the difference. By this following the process, you consciously establish Him in your heart. Just like Krishna is everywhere, but in the temple room, we establish the deities of Krishna and worship Him. Is there any difference between these two? When you are worshipping Krishna in the temple, in the His Archa Vigraha, or thinking that, oh, Krishna is everywhere, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So here you are focusing, here you are perceiving, here you are consciously establishing Him and worshipping Him. Gaurangi, that is the difference. Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is from Philippines. Gyanasindhu Das. Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it compulsory to take a Vanaprastha life or voluntary? Thank you very much, Pamho. Yeah. Is it compulsory or voluntary, Vanaprastha life? Actually, it is. In the Vedic culture, everything is voluntary. There is no compulsion. Like Krishna is not forcing anyone. Krishna is giving everyone the opportunity to decide for himself. That's why Krishna has given you the independence. This independence is there for you to decide yourself voluntarily. No compulsion. From Dallas, Ravi, Swamiji, does that mean that preacher's job is only to teach the knowledge, not to make others follow it? Did I say that, Ravi? How does this affect our use of social or political power? Like, yes, a time will come when the governments will become Krishna conscious and the government will force everybody to follow Krishna conscious persons. Yeah. So our business is not only preaching and not bother about making them follow. No. Our business is both. Teach them and make them practically practice it. Again from Ravi. Swamiji, the LDS church has a program where young men spend 2 years before university to travel and preach. Would something similar be good for ISKCON? Would you and the other Swamis oversee and nurture them? LDS means Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Is this the Mormons? Is the Mormons, yeah? So yes, I am familiar with that, Ravi. Like, yeah, they have a very nice culture of sending the boys out on different parts of the world after they finish their school, and they, for 2 years, they travel and preach, and then they come back No, I think that after they complete their studies, it's not after school. At least the way I know it, Ravi, and I, anyway, the thing is that they finish their studies, then they go out for 2 years, travel, then they come back home, and a job is waiting for them. That is the difference. The Mormons don't have brahmachari life. They don't have brahmachari ashram. So they believe in grihastha life. And they think that their families are going to be there in heavenly planets also. After life also, they will be together with their family. Therefore, the whole emphasis is on family life. So, yeah, in ISKCON, I don't know whether I have mentioned it in the class here, Bhagavatam class, but in last couple of days, you know, during the seminar, I am actually making it very, very clear that that we have a system here, not only in Ujjain. This system actually has been started by Radhesham Prabhu, a very qualified disciple of Radhanath Maharaj, who is heading the project in Pune. Like, he had been preaching to the students and has set up a thing called where the students live in the area, the hostels run by us, and they practice Krishna conscious life in there. And so we are also adopted the same design, and we set up our preaching bases like that, where many students live. I think now we have about 18 bases. How many students? So we have 18 hostels in Indore and Surat, Indore and Bhopal, Ujjain. What about Jabalpur? There was, okay. Anyway, in few cities in Madhya Pradesh, we have 18 hostels, you can say, where students are living. They practice pure Krishna conscious life while they are studying. Like, they follow the four regulative principles. They wake up in the morning, attend the morning program, then they go to college, and they take Krishna prasad. We have prasadam cooked by devotees. And these boys, after they complete their studies, our program is little different. It's like, after they complete their studies, we send them to go out and get a job for 2 years. Work in a job for 2 years, and after that, they can join the temple. How many years you worked, Kapil Muni? 3 months only. Okay. So are you waiting to see